They constantly accommodates the particular Dasein by disburdening it of its being. The they retains and enhances its stubborn dominion. Everyone is the other and no one is himself. The they, which supplies the answer to the question of the who of everyday Dasein, is the nobody to whom every Dasein has already surrendered itself in being among one another, unter einander sein. In these characters of being which we have exhibited, everyday being among one another, distantiality, averageness, levelling down, publicness, the disburdening of one's being and accommodation, lies that constancy of Dasein which is closest to us. This constancy pertains not to the enduring being present at hand of something, but rather to Dasein's kind of being as being with. Neither the self of one's own Dasein nor the self of the other has as yet found itself or lost itself, as long as it is Zayant in the modes we have mentioned. In these modes, one's way of being is that of inauthenticity and failure to stand by oneself. To be in this way signifies no lessening of Dasein's facticity, just as the they as the nobody is by no means nothing at all. On the contrary, in this kind of being, Dasein is an ens realissimum, the most real being, if by reality we understand a being with the character of Dasein. Of course, the they is as little present at hand as Dasein itself. The more openly the they behaves, the harder it is to grasp, and the slyer it is, but the less is it nothing at all. If we see it, ontico-ontologically, with an unprejudiced eye, it reveals itself as the realist subject of everydayness. And even if it is not accessible like a stone that is present at hand, this is not in the least decisive as to its kind of being. One may neither decree prematurely that this they is really nothing, nor profess the opinion that one can interpret this phenomenon ontologically by somehow explaining it as what results from taking the being present at hand together of several subjects and then fitting them together. On the contrary, in working out concepts of being, one must direct one's course by these phenomena, which cannot be pushed aside. Furthermore, the they is not something like a universal subject, which a plurality of subjects have hovering above them. One can come to take it this way only if the being of such subjects is understood as having a character other than that of Dasein, and if these are regarded as cases of a genus of occurrence, cases which are factually present at hand. With this approach, the only possibility, ontologically, is that everything which is not a case of this sort is to be understood in the sense of genus and species. The they is not the genus to which the individual Dasein belongs, nor can we come across it in such entities as an abiding characteristic. That even the traditional logic fails us when confronted with these phenomena is not surprising, if we bear in mind that it has its foundation in an ontology of the present at hand, an ontology which, moreover, is still a rough one. So no matter in how many ways this logic may be improved and expanded, it cannot, in principle, be made any more flexible. Such reforms of logic, oriented towards the humane sciences, only increase the ontological confusion. The they is an existentiale, an existential thing, and, as a primordial phenomenon, it belongs to Dasein's positive constitution. It itself has in turn various possibilities of becoming concrete as something characteristic of Dasein, seiner Daseinsmäßigen Konkretion. The extent to which its dominion becomes compelling and explicit may change in the course of history. The self of everyday Dasein is the they-self, which we distinguish from the authentic self, that is, from the self, which has been taken hold of in its own way, eigens ergriffenen. As they-self, the particular Dasein has been dispersed into the they and must first find itself. This dispersal characterizes the subject of that kind of being which we know as concernful absorption in the world we encounter as closest to us. If Dasein is familiar with itself as they-self, this means at the same time that the they itself prescribes that way of interpreting the world and being in the world which lies closest, Dasein is for the sake of the they in an everyday manner, and the they itself articulates the referential context of significance. When entities are encountered, Dasein's world frees them for a totality of involvements with which the they is familiar, and within the limits which have been established with the they's averageness. Proximally, factical Dasein is in the with world, which is discovered in an average way. Proximally, it is not I in the sense of my own self that am, but rather the others whose way is that of the they. In terms of the they and as the they, I am given proximally to myself, mir selbst. Proximally, Dasein is they, and for the most part it remains so. If Dasein discovers the world in its own way, eigens, and brings it close, if it discloses to itself its own authentic being, then this discovery of the world and this disclosure of Dasein are always accomplished as a clearing away of concealments and obscurities, as a breaking up of the disguises with which Dasein bars its own way. With this interpretation of being with and being oneself in the they, the question of the who of the everydayness of being with one another is answered. These considerations have at the same time brought us a concrete understanding of the basic constitution of Dasein. Being in the world, in its everydayness and its averageness, has become visible. From the kind of being which belongs to the kind which is closest, everyday Dasein draws its pre-ontological way of interpreting its being. In the first instance, ontological interpretation follows the tendency to interpret it this way. It understands Dasein in terms of the world, and comes across it as an entity within the world. But that is not all. Even that meaning of being on the basis of which these subject entities, diese seienden Subjekte, get understood, is one which that ontology of Dasein, which is closest to us, lets itself present in terms of the world. But because the phenomenon of the world itself gets passed over in this absorption in the world, its place gets taken, tritt an seine Stelle, by what is present at hand within the world, namely things. The being of those entities which are there with us gets conceived as presence at hand. Thus, by exhibiting the positive phenomenon of the closest everyday being in the world, we have made it possible to get an insight into the reason why an ontological interpretation of this state of being has been missing. This very state of being and its everyday kind of being is what proximally misses itself and covers itself up. If the being of everyday being with one another is already different in principle from pure presence at hand, in spite of the fact that it is seemingly close to it ontologically, still less can the being of the authentic self be conceived as presence at hand. Authentic being oneself does not rest upon an exceptional condition of the subject, a condition that has been detached from the they. It is rather an existentiel modification of the they as an essential existentiale, an existential thing. But in that case there is ontologically a gap separating the self-sameness of the authentically existing self from the identity of that I which maintains itself throughout its manifold experiences. Chapter 5. Being in as such. Section 28. The task of a thematic analysis of being in. In the preparatory stage of the existential analytic of Dasein, we have for our leading theme this entity's basic state, being in the world. Our first aim is to bring into relief phenomenally the unitary primordial structure of Dasein's being, in terms of which its possibilities and the ways for it to be are ontologically determined. Up till now, our phenomenal characterization of being in the world has been directed towards the world, as a structural item of being in the world, and has attempted to provide an answer to the question about the who of this entity in its everydayness. But even in first marking out the tasks of a preparatory fundamental analysis of Dasein, we have already provided an advance orientation as to being in as such, and have illustrated it in the concrete mode of knowing the world. The fact that we foresaw this structural item, which carries so much weight, arose from our aim of setting the analysis of single items, from the outset, within the frame of a steady preliminary view of the structural whole, and of guarding against any disruption or fragmentation of the unitary phenomenon. Now, keeping in mind what has been achieved in the concrete analysis of the world and the who, we must turn our interpretation back to the phenomenon of being in. By considering this more penetratingly, however, we shall not only get a new and surer phenomenological view of the structural totality of being in the world, but shall also pave the way to grasping the primordial being of Dasein itself, namely care. But what more is there to point out in being in the world beyond the essential relations of being alongside the world? Concern, being with, solicitude, and being oneself, who? If need be, there still remains the possibility of broadening out the analysis by characterizing comparatively the variations of concern and its circumspection, of solicitude and the considerateness which goes with it. There is also the possibility of contrasting Dasein with entities whose character is not that of Dasein by a more precise explication of the being of all possible entities within the world. Without question, there are unfinished tasks still lying in this field. What we have hitherto set forth needs to be rounded out in many ways by working out fully the existential a priori of philosophical anthropology and taking a look at it. But this is not the aim of our investigation. Its aim is one of fundamental ontology. Consequently, if we inquire about being in as our theme, we cannot indeed consent to nullify the primordial character of this phenomenon by deriving it from others, that is to say, by an inappropriate analysis in the sense of a dissolving or breaking up. But the fact that something primordial is underivable does not rule out the possibility that a multiplicity of characteristics of being may be constitutive for it. If these show themselves, then existentially they are equiprimordial. The phenomenon of the equiprimordiality of constitutive items has often been disregarded in ontology because of a methodologically unrestrained tendency to derive everything and anything from some simple primal ground. In which direction must we look if we are to characterize being in as such phenomenally? We get the answer to this question by recalling what we were charged with keeping phenomenologically in view when we called attention to this phenomenon. Being in is distinct from the present at hand insidedness of something present at hand in something else that is present at hand. Being in is not a characteristic that is effected or even just elicited in a present at hand subject by the world's being present at hand. Being in is rather an essential kind of being of this entity itself. But in that case, what else is presented with this phenomenon than the commercium, which is present at hand between a subject present at hand and an object present at hand? Such an interpretation would come closer to the phenomenal content if we were to say that Dasein is the being of this between. Yet to take our orientation from this between would still be misleading. For with such an orientation, we would also be covertly assuming the entities between which this between, as such, is, and we would be doing so in a way which is ontologically vague. The between is already conceived as the result of the convenientia, coming together, of two things that are present at hand. But to assume these beforehand always splits the phenomenon asunder, and there is no prospect of putting it together again from the fragments. Not only do we lack the cement, even the schema in accordance with which this joining together is to be accomplished, has been split asunder, or never as yet unveiled. What is decisive for ontology is to prevent the splitting of the phenomenon, in other words, to hold its positive phenomenal content secure. To say that for this we need far-reaching and detailed study is simply to express the fact that something which was ontically self-evident in the traditional way of treating the problem of knowledge, has often been ontologically disguised to the point where it has been lost sight of altogether. The entity which is essentially constituted by being in the world is itself, in every case, its there. According to the familiar signification of the word, the there points to a here and a yonder. There, here, of an I here, is always understood in relation to a yonder, ready to hand, in the sense of a being towards this yonder, a being which is disseverant, directional and concernful. Dasein's existential spatiality, which thus determines its location, is itself grounded in being in the world. The yonder belongs definitely to something encountered within the world. Here and yonder are possible only in a there. That is to say, only if there is an entity which has made a disclosure of spatiality as the being of the there. This entity carries in its own most being the character of not being closed off. In the expression there, we have in view this essential disclosedness. By reason of this disclosedness, this entity, Dasein, together with the being there of the world, is there for itself. When we talk in an ontically figurative way of the lumen naturale in man, we have in mind nothing other than the existential ontological structure of this entity, that it is in such a way as to be its there. To say that it is illuminated, erleuchtet, means that as being in the world, it is cleared, gelichtet, in itself, not through any other entity, but in such a way that it is itself, the clearing. Only for an entity which is existentially cleared in this way does that which is present at hand become accessible, in the light or hidden in the dark. By its very nature, Dasein brings its there along with it. If it lacks its there, it is not factically the entity which is essentially Dasein. Indeed, it is not this entity at all. Dasein is its disclosedness. We are to set forth the constitution of this being. But insofar as the essence of this entity is existence, the existential proposition, Dasein is its disclosedness, means at the same time that the being, which is an issue for this entity and its very being, is to be its there. In addition to characterizing the primary constitution of the being of disclosedness, we will require, in conformity with the course of the analysis, an interpretation of the kind of being in which this entity is its there in an everyday manner. This chapter, in which we shall undertake the explication of being in as such, that is to say, of the being of the there, breaks up into two parts: A, the existential constitution of the there; B, the everyday being of the there and the falling of Dasein. In understanding and state of mind, we shall see the two constitutive ways of being the there, and these are equiprimordial. If these are to be analyzed, some phenomenal confirmation is necessary. In both cases, this will be attained by interpreting some concrete mode which is important for the subsequent problematic. State of mind and understanding are characterized equiprimordially by discourse. Under A, the existential constitution of the there, we shall accordingly treat being there as state of mind, fear as a mode of state of mind, being there as understanding, understanding and interpretation, assertion as a derivative mode of interpretation, being there, discourse, and language. The analysis of the characteristics of the being of being there is an existential one. This means that the characteristics are not properties of something present at hand, but essentially existential ways to be. We must therefore set forth their kind of being in everydayness. Under B, the everyday being of the there and the falling of Dasein, we shall analyze idle talk, curiosity, and ambiguity as existential modes of the everyday being of the there. We shall analyze them as corresponding respectively to the constitutive phenomenon of discourse, the site which lies in understanding, and the interpretation or explaining, Deutung, which belongs to understanding. In these phenomenal modes, a basic kind of being of the there will become visible, a kind of being which we interpret as falling. And this falling shows a movement, Bewegtheit, which is existentially its own. A. The existential constitution of the there. Section 29. Being there as state of mind. What we indicate ontologically by the term state of mind is ontically the most familiar and everyday sort of thing. Our mood, our being attuned. Prior to all psychology of moods, a field which, in any case, still lies fallow, it is necessary to see this phenomenon as a fundamental existentiale and to outline its structure. Both the undisturbed equanimity and the inhibited ill-humor of our everyday concern, the way we slip over from one to the other or slip off into bad moods, are by no means nothing ontologically, even if these phenomena are left unheeded as supposedly the most indifferent and fleeting in Dasein. The fact that moods can deteriorate, verdorben werden, and change over means simply that in every case Dasein always has some mood, gestimmt ist. The pallid, evenly balanced lack of mood, Ungestimmtheit, which is often persistent and which is not to be mistaken for a bad mood, is far from nothing at all. Rather, it is in this that Dasein becomes satiated with itself. Being has become manifest as a burden. Why that should be, one does not know. And Dasein cannot know anything of the sort because the possibilities of disclosure, which belong to cognition, reach far too short a way compared with the primordial disclosure belonging to moods, in which Dasein is brought before its being as there. Furthermore, a mood of elation can alleviate the manifest burden of being. That such a mood is possible also discloses the burdensome character of Dasein, even while it alleviates the burden. A mood makes manifest how one is and how one is faring, wie einem ist und wird. In this how one is, having a mood brings being to its there. In having a mood, Dasein is always disclosed mood-wise as that entity to which it has been delivered over in its being. And in this way it has been delivered over to the being which, in existing, it has to be. To be disclosed does not mean to be known as this sort of thing. And even in the most indifferent and inoffensive everydayness, the being of Dasein can burst forth as a naked that it is and has to be, als nacktes, das es ist und zu sein hat. The pure that it is shows itself, but the whence and the whither remain in darkness. The fact that it is just as every day a matter for Dasein not to give in, nachgibt, to such moods, in other words, not to follow up, nachgeht, their disclosure, and allow itself to be brought before that which is disclosed, is no evidence against the phenomenal facts of the case, in which the being of the there is disclosed mood-wise in its that it is. It is rather evidence for it. In an ontico-existentiell sense, Dasein for the most part evades the being which is disclosed in the mood. In an ontologico-existential sense, this means that even that to which such a mood pays no attention, Dasein is unveiled in its being delivered over to the there. In the evasion itself, the there is something disclosed. This characteristic of Dasein's being, this that it is veiled in its whence and whither, yet disclosed in itself all the more unveiledly. We call it the thrownness of this entity into its there. Indeed, it is thrown in such a way that as being in the world, it is the there. The expression thrownness is meant to suggest the facticity of its being delivered over. The that it is and has to be, which is disclosed in Dasein's state of mind, is not the same that it is, which expresses ontologico-categorially the factuality belonging to presence at hand. This factuality becomes accessible only if we ascertain it by looking at it. The that it is, which is disclosed in Dasein's state of mind, must rather be conceived as an existential attribute of the entity, which has being in the world as its way of being. Facticity is not the factuality of the factum brutum, brute fact, of something present at hand, but a characteristic of Dasein's being, one which has been taken up into existence, even if proximally it has been thrust aside. The that it is of facticity never becomes something that we can come across by beholding it. An entity of the character of Dasein is its there, in such a way that, whether explicitly or not, it finds itself, sich befindet, in its thrownness. In a state of mind, Dasein is always brought before itself, and has always found itself, not in the sense of coming across itself, by perceiving itself, but in the sense of finding itself in the mood that it has. As an entity which has been delivered over to its being, it remains also delivered over to the fact that it must always have found itself, but found itself in a way of finding which arises not so much from a direct seeking, as rather from a fleeing. The way in which the moon discloses is not one in which we look at thrownness, but one in which we turn towards or turn away, an und abkehr. For the most part, the mood does not turn towards the burdensome character of Dasein which is manifest in it, and least of all does it do so in the mood of elation when this burden has been alleviated. It is always by way of a state of mind that this turning away is what it is. Phenomenally, we would wholly fail to recognize both what mood discloses and how it discloses, if that which is disclosed were to be compared with what Dasein is acquainted with, knows, and believes at the same time when it has such a mood. Even if Dasein is assured in its belief about its whither, or if, in rational enlightenment, it supposes itself to know about its whence, all this counts for nothing as against the phenomenal facts of the case, for the mood brings Dasein before the that it is of its there, which, as such, stares it in the face with the inexorability of an enigma. From the existential ontological point of view, there is not the slightest justification for minimizing what is evident in states of mind by measuring it against the apodictic certainty of a theoretical cognition of something which is purely present at hand. However, the phenomena are no less falsified when they are banished to the sanctuary of the irrational. When irrationalism, as the counterplay of rationalism, talks about the things to which rationalism is blind, it does so only with a squint. Factically, Dasein can, should, and must, through knowledge and will, become master of its moods. In certain possible ways of existing, this may signify a priority of volition and cognition. Only we must not be misled by this into denying that ontologically mood is a primordial kind of being for Dasein, in which Dasein is disclosed to itself prior to all cognition and volition, and beyond their range of disclosure. And furthermore, when we master a mood, we do so by way of a counter-mood. We're never free of moods. Ontologically, we thus obtain, as the first essential characteristic of states of mind, that they disclose Dasein in its thrownness, and, proximally and for the most part, in the manner of an evasive turning away. From what has been said, we can see already that a state of mind is very remote from anything like coming across a psychical condition by the kind of apprehending which first turns round and then back. Indeed, it is so far from this that only because the there has already been disclosed in a state of mind can immanent reflection come across experiences at all. The bare mood discloses the there more primordially, but correspondingly it closes it off more stubbornly than any not perceiving. This is shown by bad moods. In these, Dasein becomes blind to itself. The environment with which it is concerned veils itself. The circumspection of concern gets led astray. States of mind are so far from being reflected upon that precisely what they do is to assail Dasein in its unreflecting devotion to the world with which it is concerned and on which it expends itself. A mood assails us. It comes neither from outside nor from inside, but arises out of being in the world as a way of such being, but with the negative distinction between state of mind and the reflective apprehending of something within, we have thus reached a positive insight into their character as disclosure. The mood has already disclosed, in every case, being in the world as a whole, and makes it possible first of all to direct oneself towards something. Having a mood is not related to the psychical in the first instance, and is not itself an inner condition which then reaches forth in an enigmatical way and puts its mark on things and persons. It is in this that the second essential characteristic of states of mind shows itself. We have seen that the world, Dasein with, and existence are equiprimordially disclosed, and state of mind is a basic existential species of their disclosedness, because this disclosedness itself is essentially being in the world. Besides these two essential characteristics of states of mind, which have been explained, the disclosing of thrownness and the current disclosing of being in the world as a whole, we have to notice a third, which contributes above all towards a more penetrating understanding of the worldhood of the world. As we have said earlier, the world, which has already been disclosed beforehand, permits what is within the world to be encountered. This prior disclosedness of the world belongs to being in, and is partly constituted by one's state of mind. Letting something be encountered is primarily circumspective. It is not just sensing something or staring at it. It implies circumspective concern, and has the character of becoming affected in some way, betroffen werdens. We can see this more precisely from the standpoint of state of mind. But to be affected by the unserviceable, resistant, or threatening character, Bedrohlichkeit, of that which is ready to hand, becomes ontologically possible only in so far as being in as such has been determined existentially beforehand in such a manner that what it encounters within the world can matter to it in this way. The fact that this sort of thing can matter to it is grounded in one's state of mind. And as a state of mind, it has already disclosed the world as something by which it can be threatened, for instance. Only something which is in the state of mind of fearing or fearlessness can discover that what is environmentally ready to hand is threatening. Dasein's openness to the world is constituted existentially by the attunement of a state of mind. And only because the senses, die Sinne, belong ontologically to an entity whose kind of being is being in the world with a state of mind, can they be touched by anything or have a sense for, Sinn haben für, something in such a way that what touches them shows itself in an affect. Under the strongest pressure and resistance, nothing like an affect would come about, and the resistance itself would remain essentially undiscovered if being in the world, with its state of mind, had not already submitted itself, sich schon angewiesen, to having entities within the world matter to it in a way which its moods have outlined in advance. Existentially, a state of mind implies a disclosive submission to the world, out of which we can encounter something that matters to us. Indeed, from the ontological point of view, we must, as a general principle, leave the primary discovery of the world to bare mood. Pure beholding, even if it were to penetrate the innermost core of the being of something present at hand, could never discover anything like that which is threatening. The fact that even those states of mind are primarily disclosive, every day circumspection goes wrong and to a large extent succumbs to delusion because of them, is a meon, non-being, when measured against the idea of knowing the world absolutely. But if we make evaluations which are so unjustified ontologically, we shall completely fail to recognize the existentially positive character of the capacity for delusion. It is precisely when we see the world unsteadily and fitfully in accordance with our moods that the ready-to-hand shows itself in its specific worldhood, which is never the same from day to day. By looking at the world theoretically, we have already dimmed it down to the uniformity of what is purely present at hand. Though admittedly this uniformity comprises a new abundance of things which can be discovered by simply characterizing them. Yet even the purest theoria, theory, has not left all moods behind it, Even when we look theoretically at what is just present at hand, it does not show itself purely as it looks unless this theoria, theory, lets it come towards us in a tranquil tarrying alongside, in rastone and diagoge, ease and way of life, comfort and recreation. Any cognitive determining has its existential ontological constitution in the state of mind of being in the world. But pointing this out is not to be confused with attempting to surrender science ontically to feeling. The different modes of state of mind, and the ways in which they are interconnected in their foundations, cannot be interpreted within the problematic of the present investigation. The phenomena have long been well known ontically under the terms affects and feelings, and have always been under consideration in philosophy. It is not an accident that the earliest systematic interpretation of affects that has come down to us is not treated in the framework of psychology. Aristotle investigates the pathē, affects, in the second book of his Rhetoric. Contrary to the traditional orientation, according to which rhetoric is conceived as the kind of thing we learn in school, this work of Aristotle must be taken as the first systematic hermeneutic of the everydayness of being with one another. Publicness, as the kind of being which belongs to the they, not only has in general its own way of having a mood, but needs moods and makes them for itself. It is into such a mood and out of such a mood that the orator speaks. He must understand the possibilities of moods in order to rouse them and guide them aright. How the interpretation of the affects was carried further in the Stoa and how it was handed down to modern times through patristic and scholastic theology is well known. What has escaped notice is that the basic ontological interpretation of the affective life in general has been able to make scarcely one forward step worthy of mention since Aristotle. On the contrary, affects and feelings come under the theme of psychical phenomena, functioning as a third class of these, usually along with ideation, vorstellen, and volition. They sink to the level of accompanying phenomena. It has been one of the merits of phenomenological research that it has again brought these phenomena more unrestrictedly into our sight. Not only that, Scheler, accepting the challenges of Augustine and Pascal, has guided the problematic to a consideration of how acts which represent and acts which take an interest are interconnected in their foundations. But even here, the existential ontological foundations of the phenomenon of the act in general are admittedly still obscure. A state of mind not only discloses Dasein in its thrownness and its submission to that world which is already disclosed with its own being, it is itself the existential kind of being in which Dasein constantly surrenders itself to the world and lets the world matter to it in such a way that somehow Dasein evades its very self. The existential constitution of such evasion will become clear in the phenomenon of falling. A state of mind is a basic existential way in which Dasein is its there. It not only characterizes Dasein ontologically, but, because of what it discloses, it is at the same time methodologically significant, in principle, for the existential analytic. Like any ontological interpretation whatsoever, this analytic can only, so to speak, listen in to some previously disclosed entity as regards its being. And it will attach itself to Dasein's distinctive and most far-reaching possibilities of disclosure in order to get information about this entity from these. Phenomenological interpretation must make it possible for Dasein itself to disclose things primordially. It must, as it were, let Dasein interpret itself. Such interpretation takes part in this disclosure only in order to raise, to a conceptual level, the phenomenal content of what has been disclosed, and to do so existentially. Later we shall provide an interpretation of anxiety as such a basic state of mind of Dasein, and as one which is significant from the existential ontological standpoint. With this in view, we shall now illustrate the phenomenon of state of mind even more concretely in its determinate mode of fear. Section 30. Fear as a mode of state of mind. There are three points of view from which the phenomenon of fear may be considered. We shall analyze 1. That in the face of which we fear, 2. Fearing, and 3. That about which we fear. These possible ways of looking at fear are not accidental. They belong together. With them, the general structure of states of mind comes to the fore. We shall complete our analysis by alluding to the possible ways in which fear may be modified. Each of these pertains to different items in the structure of fear. That in the face of which we fear, the fearsome, is in every case something which we encounter within the world, and which we may have either readiness to hand, presence at hand, or Dasein with as its kind of being. We're not going to make an ontical report on those entities which can often and for the most part be fearsome. We are to define the fearsome phenomenally in its fearsomeness. What do we encounter in fearing that belongs to the fearsome as such? That in the face of which we fear can be characterized as threatening. Here, several points must be considered. 1. What we encounter has detrimentality as its kind of involvement. It shows itself within a context of involvements. 2. The target of this detrimentality is a definite range of what can be affected by it. Thus, the detrimentality is itself made definite and comes from a definite region. 3. The region itself is well known as such, and so is that which is coming from it. But that which is coming from it has something queer about it. 4. That which is detrimental as something that threatens us is not yet within striking distance, in beherrschbarer Nähe, but it is coming close. In such a drawing close, the detrimentality radiates out, and therein lies its threatening character. 5. This drawing close is within what is close by. Indeed, something may be detrimental in the highest degree and may even be coming constantly closer. But if it is still far off, its fearsomeness remains veiled. If, however, that which is detrimental draws close and is close by, then it is threatening. It can reach us, and yet it may not. As it draws close, this "it can," and yet in the end it may not, becomes aggravated. We say it is fearsome. 6. This implies that what is detrimental as coming close, close by, carries with it the patent possibility that it may stay away and pass us by. But instead of lessening or extinguishing our fearing, this enhances it. In fearing as such, what we have thus characterized as threatening is freed and allowed to matter to us. We do not first ascertain a future evil, malum futurum, and then fear it. Neither does fearing first take note of what is drawing close. It discovers it beforehand in its fearsomeness. And in fearing, fear can then look at the fearsome explicitly and make it clear to itself. Circumspection sees the fearsome because it has fear as its state of mind. Fearing as a slumbering possibility of being in the world in a state of mind, we call this possibility fearfulness, Furchtsamkeit, has already disclosed the world, in that out of it something like the fearsome may come close. The potentiality for coming close is itself freed by the essential existential spatiality of being in the world. That which fear fears about is that very entity which is afraid, Dasein. Only an entity for which in its being this very being is an issue can be afraid. Fearing discloses this entity as endangered and abandoned to itself. Fear always reveals Dasein in the being of its there, even if it does so in varying degrees of explicitness. If we fear about our house and our home, this cannot be cited as an instance contrary to the above definition of what we fear about. For as being in the world, Dasein is in every case concernful being alongside. Proximally, and for the most part, Dasein is in terms of what it is concerned with. When this is endangered, being alongside is threatened. Fear discloses Dasein predominantly in a privative way. It bewilders us and makes us lose our heads. Fear closes off our endangered being in, and yet at the same time lets us see it, so that when the fear has subsided, Dasein must first find its way about again. Whether privatively or positively, fearing about something, as being afraid in the face of something, always discloses equiprimordially entities within the world and being in. The former is threatening and the latter is threatened. Fear is a mode of state of mind. One can also fear about others, and we then speak of fearing for them, fürchten für sie. This fearing for the other does not take away his fear. Such a possibility has been ruled out already because the other, for whom we fear, need not fear at all on his part. It is precisely when the other is not afraid and charges recklessly at what is threatening him that we fear most for him. Fearing for is a way of having a co-state of mind with others, but not necessarily of being afraid with or even a fearing with one another. One can fear about without being afraid. Yet when viewed more strictly, fearing about is being afraid for oneself. Here, what one is apprehensive about is one's being with the other who might be torn away from one. That which is fearsome is not aimed directly at him who fears with someone else. Fearing about knows that in a certain way it is unaffected, and yet it is co-affected insofar as the Dasein with, for which it fears, is affected. Fearing about is therefore not a weaker form of being afraid. Here the issue is one of existential modes, not of degrees of feeling tones. Fearing about does not lose its specific genuineness, even if it is not really afraid. There can be variations in the constitutive items of the full phenomenon of fear. Accordingly, different possibilities of being emerge in fearing. Bringing close, close by, belongs to the structure of the threatening as encounterable. If something threatening breaks in suddenly upon concernful being in the world, something threatening in its not right away but any moment, fear becomes alarm, erschrecken. So in what is threatening, we must distinguish between the closest way in which it brings itself close and the manner in which this bringing close gets encountered, its suddenness. That in the face of which we are alarmed is proximally something well known and familiar. But if, on the other hand, that which threatens has the character of something altogether unfamiliar, then fear becomes dread, grauen. And where that which threatens is laden with dread and is at the same time encountered with the suddenness of the alarming, then fear becomes terror, entsetzen. There are further variations of fear which we know as timidity, shyness, misgiving, becoming startled. All modifications of fear as possibilities of having a state of mind point to the fact that Dasein as being in the world is fearful, furchtsam. This fearfulness is not to be understood in an ontical sense as some factical, individualized disposition, but as an existential possibility of the essential state of mind of Dasein in general, though of course it is not the only one. Section 31. Being there as understanding. State of mind is one of the existential structures in which the being of the there maintains itself. Equiprimordial with it in constituting this being is understanding. A state of mind always has its understanding, even if it merely keeps it suppressed. Understanding always has its mood. If we interpret understanding as a fundamental existentiale, existential thing, this indicates that this phenomenon is conceived as a basic mode of Dasein's being. On the other hand, understanding in the sense of one possible kind of cognizing, among others, as distinguished, for instance, from explaining, must, like explaining, be interpreted as an existential derivative of that primary understanding which is one of the constituents of the being of the there in general. We have, after all, already come up against this primordial understanding in our previous investigations, though we did not allow it to be included explicitly in the theme under discussion. To say that in existing, Dasein is its there is equivalent to saying that the world is there. Its being there is being in, and the latter is likewise there as that for the sake of which Dasein is. In the for the sake of which, existing being in the world is disclosed as such, and this disclosedness we have called understanding. In the understanding of the for the sake of which, The significance which is grounded therein is disclosed along with it. The disclosedness of understanding as the disclosedness of the for the sake of which, and of significance equiprimordially, pertains to the entirety of being in the world. Significance is that on the basis of which the world is disclosed as such. To say that for the sake of which and significance are both disclosed in Dasein means that Dasein is that entity which, as being in the world, is an issue for itself. When we are talking ontically, we sometimes use the expression understanding something, with the signification of being able to manage something, be a match for it, being competent to do something. In understanding as an existentiale, that which we have such competence over is not a what, but being as existing. The kind of being which Dasein has as potentiality for being lies existentially in understanding. Dasein is not something present at hand which possesses its competence for something by way of an extra. It is primarily being possible. Dasein is in every case what it can be, and in the way in which it is, its possibility. The being possible, which is essential for Dasein, pertains to the ways of its solicitude for others and of its concern with the world, as we have characterized them. And in all these and always, it pertains to Dasein's potentiality for being towards itself, for the sake of itself. The being possible, which Dasein is existentially in every case, is to be sharply distinguished both from empty logical possibility and from the contingency of something present at hand, so far as with the present at hand, this or that can come to pass. As a modal category of presence at hand, possibility signifies what is not yet actual and what is not at any time necessary. It characterizes the merely possible. Ontologically, it is on a lower level than actuality and necessity. On the other hand, possibility as an existentiale is the most primordial and ultimate positive way in which Dasein is characterized ontologically. As with existentiality in general, we can, in the first instance, only prepare for the problem of possibility. The phenomenal basis for seeing it at all is provided by the understanding as a disclosive potentiality for being. Possibility as an existentiale does not signify a free-floating potentiality for being in the sense of the liberty of indifference, libertas indifferentiae. In every case, Dasein, as essentially having a state of mind, has already got itself into definite possibilities. As the potentiality for being which is, it has let such possibilities pass by. It is constantly waiving the possibilities of its being, or else it seizes upon them and makes mistakes. But this means that Dasein is being possible, which has been delivered over to itself, thrown possibility through and through. Dasein is the possibility of being free for its own most potentiality for being. Its being possible is transparent to itself in different possible ways and degrees. Understanding is the being of such potentiality for being, which is never something still outstanding as not yet present at hand, but which as something which is essentially never present at hand, is, with the being of Dasein, in the sense of existence. Dasein is such that in every case it is understood, or alternatively not understood, that it is to be thus or thus. As such understanding, it knows what it is capable of, that is, what its potentiality for being is capable of. This knowing does not first arise from an immanent self-perception, but belongs to the being of the there, which is essentially understanding. And only because Dasein in understanding is its there, can it go astray and fail to recognize itself. And insofar as understanding is accompanied by state of mind, and as such is existentially surrendered to thrownness, Dasein has in every case already gone astray and failed to recognize itself. In its potentiality for being, it is therefore delivered over to the possibility of first finding itself again in its possibilities. Understanding is the existential being of Dasein's own potentiality for being, and it is so in such a way that this being discloses in itself what its being is capable of. We must grasp the structure of this existentiale more precisely. As a disclosure, understanding always pertains to the whole basic state of being in the world. As a potentiality for being, any being in is a potentiality for being in the world. Not only is the world qua world disclosed as possible significance, but when that which is within the world is itself freed, this entity is freed for its own possibilities. That which is ready to hand is discovered as such in its serviceability, its usability, and its detrimentality. The totality of involvements is revealed as the categorical whole of a possible interconnection of the ready to hand. But even the unity of the manifold present at hand of nature can be discovered only if a possibility of it has been disclosed. Is it accidental that the question about the being of nature aims at the conditions of its possibility? On what is such an inquiry based? When confronted with this inquiry, we cannot leave aside the question, why are entities which are not of the character of Dasein understood in their being, if they are disclosed in accordance with the conditions of their possibility? Kant presupposes something of the sort, perhaps rightly, but this presupposition itself is something that cannot be left without demonstrating how it is justified. Why does the understanding, whatever may be the essential dimensions of that which can be disclosed in it, always press forward into possibilities? It is because the understanding has in itself the existential structure which we call projection. With equal primordiality, the understanding projects Dasein's being both upon its for the sake of which and upon significance, as the worldhood of its current world. The character of understanding as projection is constitutive for being in the world with regard to the disclosedness of its existentially constitutive state of being, by which the factical potentiality for being gets its leeway, Spielraum. And as thrown, Dasein is thrown into the kind of being which we call projecting. Projecting has nothing to do with comporting oneself towards a plan that has been thought out, and in accordance with which Dasein arranges its being. On the contrary, any Dasein has, as Dasein, already projected itself, and as long as it is projecting. As long as it is, Dasein always has understood itself, and always will understand itself in terms of possibilities. Furthermore, the character of understanding as projection is such that the understanding does not grasp thematically that upon which it projects, that is to say, possibilities. Grasping it in such a manner would take away from what is projected its very character as a possibility, and would reduce it to the given contents which we have in mind. Whereas projection, in throwing, throws before itself the possibility, and lets it be as such. As projecting, understanding is the kind of being of Dasein in which it is its possibilities as possibilities. Because of the kind of being which is constituted by the existentiali of projection, Dasein is constantly more than it factually is, supposing that one might want to make an inventory of it as something at hand, and list the content of its being, and supposing that one were able to do so. But Dasein is never more than it factically is, for to its facticity its potentiality for being belongs essentially. Yet as being possible, moreover, Dasein is never anything less. That is to say, it is existentially that which, in its potentiality for being, it is not yet. Only because the being of the there receives its constitution through understanding and through the character of understanding as projection, only because it is what it becomes, or alternatively does not become, can it say to itself, become what you are, and say this with understanding. Projection always pertains to the full disclosedness of being in the world. As potentiality for being, understanding has itself possibilities, which are sketched out beforehand within the range of what is essentially disclosable in it. Understanding can devote itself primarily to the disclosedness of the world, that is, Dasein can, proximally and for the most part, understand itself in terms of its world. Or else, understanding throws itself primarily into the for the sake of which, that is, Dasein exists as itself. Understanding is either authentic, arising out of one's own self as such, or inauthentic. The in of inauthentic does not mean that Dasein cuts itself off from itself and understands only the world. The world belongs to being oneself as being in the world. On the other hand, authentic understanding, no less than that which is inauthentic, can be either genuine or not genuine. As potentiality for being, understanding is altogether permeated with possibility. When one is diverted into, sich verlegen in, one of these basic possibilities of understanding, the other is not laid aside, legt nicht ab, because understanding in every case pertains rather to Dasein's full discloseness as being in the world. This diversion of the understanding is an existential modification of projection as a whole. In understanding the world, being in is always understood along with it, while understanding of existence as such is always an understanding of the world. As factical Dasein, any Dasein has already diverted its potentiality for being into a possibility of understanding. In its projective character, understanding goes to make up existentially what we call Dasein's sight, Sicht. With the discloseness of the there, this sight is existentially, existenzial seiende. And Dasein is this sight equiprimordially in each of those basic ways of its being which we have already noted. As the circumspection, Umsicht of concern, as the considerateness, Rücksicht of solicitude, and as that sight which is directed upon being as such, Sicht auf das Sein als solches, for the sake of which any Dasein is as it is. The sight which is related primarily and on the whole to existence we call transparency, Durchsichtigkeit. We choose this term to designate knowledge of the self, in a sense which is well understood, so as to indicate that here it is not a matter of perceptually tracking down and inspecting a point called the self, but rather one of seizing upon the full discloseness of being in the world throughout all the constitutive items which are essential to it, and doing so with understanding. In existing entities, sight themselves, sichtet sich, only insofar as they have become transparent to themselves, with equal primordiality in those items which are constitutive for their existence, their being alongside the world, and their being with others. On the other hand, Dasein's opaqueness, Undurchsichtigkeit, is not rooted primarily and solely in egocentric self-deceptions. It is rooted just as much in lack of acquaintance with the world. We must, to be sure, guard against a misunderstanding of the expression sight. It corresponds to the clearedness, Gelichtetheit, which we took as characterizing the disclosedness of the there. Seeing does not mean just perceiving with the bodily eyes, but neither does it mean pure non-sensory awareness of something present at hand in its presence at hand. In giving an existential signification to sight, we have merely drawn upon the peculiar feature of seeing, that it lets entities which are accessible to it be encountered unconcededly in themselves. Of course, every sense does this within that domain of discovery which is genuinely its own. But from the beginning onwards, the tradition of philosophy has been oriented primarily towards seeing as a way of access to entities and to being. To keep the connection with this tradition, we may formalize sight and seeing enough to obtain therewith a universal term for characterizing any access to entities or to being as access in general. By showing how all sight is grounded primarily in understanding, the circumspection of concern is understanding as common sense, Verständigkeit, we have deprived pure intuition, Anschauen, of its priority, which corresponds noetically to the priority of the present at hand in traditional ontology. Intuition and thinking are both derivatives of understanding, and already rather remote ones. Even the phenomenological intuition of essences, Wesensschau, is grounded in existential understanding. We can decide about this kind of seeing only if we have obtained explicit conceptions of being and of the structure of being, such as only phenomena in the phenomenological sense can become. The disclosedness of the there in understanding is itself a way of Dasein's potentiality for being, in the way in which its being is projected both upon the for the sake of which and upon significance, the world. There lies the disclosedness of being in general. Understanding of being has already been taken for granted in projecting upon possibilities. In projection, being is understood, though not ontologically conceived. An entity whose kind of being is the essential projection of being in the world has understanding of being and has this as constitutive for its being. What was posited dogmatically at an earlier stage now gets exhibited in terms of the constitution of the being in which Dasein as understanding is its there. The existential meaning of this understanding of being cannot be satisfactorily clarified within the limits of this investigation, except on the basis of the temporal interpretation of being. As existentialia, states of mind and understanding characterize the primordial disclosedness of being in the world. By way of having a mood, Dasein sees possibilities in terms of which it is. In the projective disclosure of such possibilities, it already has a mood in every case. The projection of its ownmost potentiality for being has been delivered over to the fact of its thrownness into the there. Has not Dasein's being become more enigmatical now that we have explicated the existential constitution of the being of the there in the sense of thrown projection? It has indeed. We must first let the full enigmatical character of this being emerge, even if all we can do is to come to a genuine breakdown over its solution and to formulate anew the question about the being of thrown projective being in the world. But in the first instance, even if we are just to bring into view the everyday kind of being in which there is understanding with a state of mind, and if we are to do so in a way which is phenomenally adequate to the full disclosedness of the there, we must work out these existentialia, existential things, concretely. Section 32. Understanding and Interpretation. As understanding, Dasein projects its being upon possibilities. This being towards possibilities which understands is itself a potentiality for being. And it is so because of the way these possibilities, as disclosed, exert their counterthrust, Rückschlag, upon Dasein. The projecting of the understanding has its own possibility, that of developing itself, sich auszubilden. This development of the understanding we call interpretation. In it, the understanding appropriates understandingly that which is understood by it. In interpretation, understanding does not become something different. It becomes itself. Such interpretation is grounded existentially in understanding. The latter does not arise from the former, nor is interpretation the acquiring of information about what is understood. It is rather the working out of possibilities projected in understanding. In accordance with the trend of these preparatory analyses of everyday Dasein, we shall pursue the phenomenon of interpretation in understanding the world, that is, in inauthentic understanding, and indeed in the mode of its genuineness. In terms of the significance which is disclosed in understanding the world, concernful being alongside, the ready-to-hand, gives itself to understand whatever involvement that which is encountered can have. To say that circumspection discovers means that the world, which has already been understood, comes to be interpreted. The ready-to-hand comes explicitly into the sight, which understands. All preparing, putting to rights, repairing, improving, rounding out, are accomplished in the following way. We take part in its in order to that which is circumspectively ready to hand, and we concern ourselves with it in accordance with what becomes visible through this process. That which has been circumspectively taken apart with regard to its in order to, and taken apart as such, that which is explicitly understood, has the structure of something as something. The circumspective question as to what this particular thing that is ready to hand may be receives the circumspectively interpretative answer that it is for such and such a purpose. Es ist zum. If we tell what it is for, das wozu, we're not simply designating something, but that which is designated is understood as